Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God. Should Christians keep the laws and commandments of God? What are the teachings in the New Testament concerning the laws and commandments of God? Because there is a false grace that goes out. It's a lawless grace which says, you don't have to keep the laws and commandments of God. Is that true? Have you heard that? Have you believed that? And we saw in one of the other messages that Jesus did not come to do away with the laws or commandments of God, but he came to fulfill, to fill them to the full with a spiritual intent and meaning. So should Christians keep the laws and commandments of God? Men think they have been done away. Men think that the law and the prophets have been abolished. But what did Jesus say? Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God is love? Do you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may have eternal life? Do you believe that? What is the love of God? How is that in relationship to the laws and the prophets? What did Jesus himself say? See, so when you want to answer a question, don't say, well, what did my minister say last Sunday? What did my seminary teach me when I was going through college to learn to become a minister? You ask, what did Jesus say? Because the Apostle Paul wrote that if anyone does not adhere to the sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is proud and vain and arrogant and knows nothing. So let's see what Jesus said. And what we want to do with Church at Home is this. We want to teach you the Word of God. That's what we want to do. So let's come to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Because the Jews were always arguing, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus didn't accept any of their traditions as we've seen. No, he taught the Word of God. So let's see how he asked the question when one of the Pharisees, one of them a doctor of the law, came to him tempting him, Matthew 22 and verse 36, and he said, Master, which commandment is the great commandment in the law? Now that's referring to the first five books called the books of Moses. Now always remember this, it's not the law of Moses, it's the law of God, given through Moses to the children of Israel, consisting of the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And Jesus said to him, here's the commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now let's think about this a minute. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That sounds like a pretty full-time activity, does it not? That doesn't sound like, well, I'll reserve for the Lord 30 minutes on Sunday, and then I'm going to watch all my sports, and then I'm going to go play golf, or I'm going to go hunting, or I'm going to go fishing. But I have to give my due to God for a half hour. Does that sound like loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind? That's pretty all-consuming, isn't it? Now remember, this is the teaching of Jesus Christ himself. And also remember, before Jesus came in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, he was the Lord God of the Old Testament. So Jesus knew what he was talking about. Let's continue on, verse 38. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, we're going to see something very important in relationship to the law, to the laws and commandments and the prophets here in just a minute. Now, verse 39. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I think if you would look in the Old Testament, there are a lot of very fine laws which tell the people how to love their neighbor. Now, let's read verse 40, because this is the key, right here. How do we keep the commandments of God in the New Testament? What is the truth? What was Jesus doing? How then do we restore these teachings today? Verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now let's think about this for a minute. What supports the law and the prophets? The love of God. And the commandment to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your being, see? So, the law and prophets are supported by the love of God. Just like the love of God in the New Testament supports the spiritual keeping of the laws of God, as we saw that Jesus explained in Matthew, the 5th chapter. And he said he didn't come. He said, don't think. Do not think. Don't let it enter into your minds that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. Because you see, if he did, he would also abolish the love of God, because those emanate from the love of God. A lot of people want the love of God, but we don't want to keep those harsh commandments. Well, they're not harsh. Those commandments are good. Those commandments are right. Now let's see what God explained about the commandments in the book of Deuteronomy, right here in the law. Why did God give the laws to the children of Israel? A lot of people say, well, he gave them to the Jews. No, the Jews were named Jews about 700 years later. All right, let's come to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's come to chapter 4, and we're going to learn some very important things here in chapter 4 of the book of Deuteronomy. And what you're going to find, you are going to find also here New Testament teaching. Whoa! How did that happen? Well, there's a unity of Scripture between the Old and New Testament. That's why. Deuteronomy 4. Now let's see how this ties in with what we've been learning. Verse 1, and now, O Israel, he didn't say Judah. Here, stop right here just for a minute so that you know, that you understand, which is this. There were 12 tribes of Israel. One tribe was the house of Judah, from whence the Jews came. So this is all the 12 tribes. The Jews would say, well, Israel means the Jews. No, it means 1/12 of Israel. Let's continue. And now, O Israel, hearken to the statutes and judgments which I teach you in order to do them so that you may live and go on and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives to you. Now, theologians today say, well, God gave the commandments to the Jews as a curse and as a burden. It's not what God says. You may live. Let's read on. Verse 2. Now everyone who believes in the New Testament, listen up. Everyone who thinks that you can do away with the laws of God, listen up. Everyone who thinks you can add traditions to the laws of God and commandments of God in order to improve them, listen up. Which is this? Can you improve on God by either adding or taking away? Verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from it, so that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Isn't that something? But what do men do? The first thing they do is misinterpret, add to, and take away from. When God said, don't do that. Let's consider for a minute, if you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being, why would you want to? All right, let's read on. Come down here to verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. And you shall keep and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. That's what it was to be. See, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and good understanding have those who do his commandments. Now notice what else they say here, verse 7. For what nation is so great whose God is near to them, as the Lord our God is, whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and judgments so righteous as all the law which I set before you today? This is in the book of Deuteronomy. But some people say, oh, that nasty Old Testament. Well, they haven't read it. Let's go on. Verse 9. Only take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourselves, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them to your children and your children's children. And he gave these so that it would be well with them. He gave it to them so that it would be good. He gave it to them so that they could live. And in chapter 5 of the book of Deuteronomy, you have another account of the giving of the Ten Commandments as rehearsed by Moses. After giving the Ten Commandments, here in verse 32, chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, and you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live. What happens when people break the commandments of God today? Well, they live miserable lives. Or their lives are cut off before they fulfill their lives, 70 or 80. God gave these so that they may live, and that it may be well with you. That's why God gave them. And you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Right? That's what God has given us. Now we're going to see in the New Testament that commandment keeping is required. And it's required in such a way to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being. Now let's come to chapter 6. Let's read on again. These laws are good. These laws are perfect. These laws are righteous, as we will see. And God gave them for the benefit of the people. Verse 1. Now these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, so that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. God does not delight even in the death of the wicked. Do you want to live long? Do you want your life to be right? Now, we're living in a time when God's judgment is coming upon the whole world because of rebellion and sin and violence and war, and because of false and wrong governments, false and wrong, how should we say, religions, although God hates religion. Here's why. Now, notice verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be diligent to observe it, so that it may be well with you. You want your life to go well? You want it to go right? Yes, indeed. And that you may greatly multiply, as the Lord God of our fathers has promised you, in a land that flows with milk and honey. And isn't that exactly describing the United States of America, the British Commonwealth, Northwestern Europe, and Australia and New Zealand? Yes, indeed. Because all of those nations were originally from the modern descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. Now that's another whole story by itself. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord, the Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And he gave all of these so that they may live, that it may be well with them. Now, let's come to the New Testament. Let's look at some things in the first epistle of John. And let's see the teachings of the New Testament church, because what we will find is this. The commandments of God are in full force and effect and spiritually today for those who profess they know God. Now, I'm going to read to you a verse that maybe you have never heard. Now, there are a lot of preachers who don't like to use this verse because it goads them, because they don't believe in keeping the commandments of God. 1 John 2, and let's pick it up here in verse 3. And part of Christianity today is this. Do you know the Lord, brother? Oh, yes, I know the Lord. Have you been born again? Yes, I've been born again. Well, the truth is, no one has been born again if you're still in the flesh. And if that shocks you, and if you think you've been born again, then take up the challenge, because you can download right from the website, Church at Home, what does it mean to be born again? And what does it mean to be born of God? And you're going to understand you've been deceived. Now, just try a little trick here if you can. Bear with me for just a minute. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if you are born again, you're invisible and you're like the wind and you can come and go wherever you want. No one can see you. Have you seen the kingdom of God? Have you entered the kingdom of God? Are you invisible and can go wherever you want to go? No. So then, that means you haven't been born again. Because born again, I'll just give you one clue, means to be resurrected from the dead. Because Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. Now, you download those articles. Because a lot of people say, well, if you don't believe that you're born again now, you're a heretic. It's the other way around. If you believe you're born again now, you are misunderstanding the Bible. And if you still persist in it, then you can become a heretic. See, so that's why restoring the true teachings of the Bible, beginning with the laws and commandments of God, is so important. And it has to do with the love of God. Because all the laws and commandments of God are supported by the love of God. 1 John 2, verse 3. Going to read some verses that maybe is going to astound you if you've never heard them before. Now remember, the Apostle John was the one whom Jesus loved. And the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John also, wrote more about love than any of the other apostles. So he knows about it. He understood about it. And he lived longer than any of the other apostles, by the way. Let's pick it up here, 1 John 2 and verse 3. By this standard we know that we know him. A lot of people say, do you know the Lord? Oh, I know the Lord. Well, what is the proof that you know the Lord? It says, by this standard, we know that we know him. It's not a matter that you think you know him. It's not a matter that you might know him. We are to know that we know him. And what is the standard? Verse 4. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Think of that. Now, I want you to take that one verse, and I want you to think an awful lot about what's in the Bible. And I'm going to challenge you to study your Bible and study it, asking God to help open your heart and mind and understanding so you know what's in the Bible. See, the whole purpose of what we're doing here on Church at Home is to help you understand the Bible, help you to get to know God, help you to realize what the Bible is actually saying. Now, what does this mean? Just like we have said, and how the Christian world has been deceived, every minister who stands in the pulpit and says, we have liberty to keep Sunday, we have liberty to break the commandments of God, Christ came and did away with the laws of God, is a liar. Now, he may be sweet, he may be nice, he may be kind, he may be all of these things. But when it comes to the truth of God and his commandments, he's a liar. Do you understand that? That's what the Word of God says. And the truth is not in him. And we're going to see laws of God are true, his commandments are true, his precepts are true, his word is true from the beginning. Now let's go on. Verse 5, on the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, that's quite an interesting statement, isn't it? Keeping his word. Do you keep and practice the word of God? Do you keep and practice the commandments of God? Do you? Those who do, this is what happens. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. But what does that have to do with commandment keeping? I'll tell you in just a minute. Because by this means we know we are in him. And that's what it is to be a Christian, to be in Christ. Is that not true? Yes, it is. All right. Here is the test. Are you in Christ Jesus? Let's read it. Verse 6. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk even as he himself walked. Are you conducting your life according to the commandments and teachings of Jesus Christ, who was perfect? He never sinned. Now, we're not perfect, and we sin, so we need forgiveness. So therefore, in the first chapter of 1 John, it says, if we confess our sins to him, he is righteous and just to forgive us our sins. And we need that on a daily basis. But are you modeling your life after Jesus Christ? Are you walking in the way that Jesus walked? That's what's important. Now let's come here to 1 John, the 5th chapter, and let's understand something else concerning the commandments of God. All right? Here's what John wrote concerning the love of God and commandment keeping. By this standard, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So we have to love God first. Isn't that the first and great commandment? Yes, with all our heart, mind, and soul and being. Isn't that true? Yes, and love the children of God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God. Now think about this, study on this, meditate on this, let these words, as Jesus told his disciples, let them sink deep into your ears. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. God did not give commandments to burden us down. The traditions of men and the bondage of men burden us down. And our own sins and our own shortcomings burden us down. That's why we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's why we need to love God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's why we need to keep the commandments of God. That's why we are obligating ourselves to walk as Jesus walked. Now, what I want you to do is download any of the articles that we have concerning the love of God, the commandments of God, how Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. I want you to download those things on how to study your Bible, the 14 rules for Bible study. We have a lot of things you can download. Now also, I want to mention our other website, cbcg.org, which is for Christian Biblical Church of God. Christian because we follow Christ, biblical because we're scripturalists, of God because it's of God and not of men. Or you can write to Church at Home, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. Now, thank you for inviting me into your home. I hope these messages will help you and strengthen you and point you toward God. The whole purpose of what we're doing is to do that, so that you may love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being, and truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So this is Fred Coulter saying, thank you for inviting me into your home. And until next time, so long, everybody.